Episode 75. This episode is brought to you by Caveman Foods. Go to cavemanfoods.com/Dolce. Use promo code Dolce. You'll save 10% off the bars that I actually travel with, the bars that I keep in my back pocket, in my backpack. When I travel around the world, I make sure I have Caveman Food bars with me. And that's something you should have with you. Now, moving on today, we have my good friend, strength coach extraordinaire from my home state of New Jersey, Mr. Zach Evanesh. Let's get him on the line. All right, everybody. Next on the line, we have my good friend and premier strength coach, Mr. Zach Evanesh. Zach, how are you, brother?
I'm pumped up, dude. I'm about to roll through your old stomping grounds here in Jersey Shore.
I would be jealous if it wasn't February 2nd on the Jersey Shore.
The sun is busting out. I'm going to see how the ocean looks, so I'm going to make the best of it.
Yeah, man. Have you got a coffee in hand? Are you a coffee guy?
I'm a coffee guy, but I already trained a group of wrestlers and football players here at the gym, so... I'm like you. I'm up early because I just feel like you get that day started even like an hour earlier than the normal, quote-unquote, normal people. You just, that first hour, I get a lot of work done, man. So we trained our group here at 9 a.m. and ready to just enjoy the day with you and family, ready to kick some ass here.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time on a Sunday to talk to myself and the audience here. Now, you're in the gym 9 a.m. You have a devoted team of who you're training, wrestlers this morning?
Yeah, we have those guys are pretty much all wrestlers, so it's an in-season crew right now. A couple of them are football players and some of them baseball players, but I'd say it's like 90% are wrestlers, and I encourage them to be multi-sport athletes. So there's a couple of them that are, you know, kind of going against the grain. A lot of high school kids tend to, or they get pushed into just being a one-sport athlete and not really balancing out what their body goes through as far as training. So we're getting more kids that are getting smarter about it, and it just really helps them. Those kids are so much less likely to burn out than the kids that never try a different sport.
Absolutely. You see that all the time. You have the overzealous football dad, as we like to call it, that's constantly riding the kid to just do better, be perfect. And what happens? A kid gets into high school, does real well, gets the D1 scholarship and says, you know what? Fuck you, dad. I'm going to go and smoke weed, drink alcohol, and, you know, have relations with ladies. And then the athleticism goes away, and there goes a scholarship. And, you know, all those years are wasted. And then the relationship sometimes, you know, can be burnt out. You know, I've seen that, God, man, dozens of times, hundreds of times. I'm sure you've seen, you know, instances of that also.
Dude, it's it crushes my heart when I see that. We've had some... you know, what you're talking about, I've seen that happen, and I've even seen it happen earlier where the kid, like junior year, he's like, I just can't take this anymore. I just can't even imagine doing this sport again. And you're right. It oftentimes comes from the dad who's pushing the kid, and the dad just doesn't have an off switch. And here and there, we see some kids, they have thick skin and they can handle it. And then there's also, you know, on the flip side here and there, we have some kids, like the dads are very supportive. They push the kid when he needs to be pushed. And then that kid kind of matures and finds a way to, you know, rise above himself. But that happens less frequent. What you just said is actually the more frequent happening where the kid is emotionally burnt out and they just don't want to do the work. They don't give a crap. And, it sucks because I think, you know, these sports, they could learn so much about life, and when they get pushed and just train at such an extreme level, you know, they quit. They're like, screw this. Exactly what you said. They say, fuck you, Dad. I'm done.
That's it. And our job as coaches is to try and cultivate the inner potential of the athlete, of the trainee, and whether they're going to be a state champion, national champion, world champion, that – is nice, but to me that doesn't matter nearly as much as the athlete achieving their full potential, becoming well-rounded, and integrating into society as just an upstanding citizen that has the philosophy of health and fitness and longevity that they can take with them, they can share, and have self-confidence so they can really enter any room, any situation, and have the confidence that they learn inside the brick walls, of the strength gym. And in your case, it's the underground strength gym, which I love that. I love the name. You have two facilities there in New Jersey, correct?
Yeah, we've got two locations, one in Edison, which is considered, it's like 45 minutes from New York City. It's near Rutgers University, about 10 minutes from Rutgers. And the other one is down where you used to live in Manasquan. So one of Manasquan is, I'm trying to build that culture of, the kids, as you know, down by the beach. It's just like a totally different culture than the kids not by the beach. So I'm finding that balance. Like what you talk about is I want them training hard. I want them committed. I want them living the lifestyle, but I want them doing it through their own will. So I push them and I show them that this is, you work hard, you rise above, you'll achieve success, but only if you want to do it. You start skipping workouts. I tell them that life and lifting, it's the same thing. And what you talk about is like kind of like peaking almost in life. Like these kids, we want them to learn through training what to apply to life. And I'll take any day the kid who becomes the adult, the more successful person later in life than the one who is a state champ in seventh and eighth grade. And then later in high school and college, they say, fuck this, I'm sick of hard work. They don't embrace it. They look at the hard work as a punishment. And I always want them to embrace the hard work, to have the pride in being mentally tough. And to me, that's the big win, with this kind of training, as you know. Like, I don't think you would be as successful as you are today if you were not a power lifter, somebody involved with fitness, a weightlifter, a strength conditioning coach. Like, your commitment and all that you learned through training, you learned through sports, and luckily you didn't burn out, but you did, you learned all those lessons through the powerlifting, through the weight, gaining excess weight. It's all life lessons, man, that's what I think the martial arts and the gym can mirror if it's done the right way.
Absolutely. I was lucky that I was well diversified down there in Belmar, New Jersey. My parents had me participate in every sport every season. So I played baseball, I played basketball, I played soccer, I played lacrosse. Finally, in high school, wrestling opened up at St. Rose. I started wrestling as a freshman. And, running and track and field, whatever sport there was, my parents made sure I was in, maybe to get me out of the house. I don't know. Maybe they were sick of me, but they knew. My father, he trained thoroughbred racehorses. My mother was a college basketball player, so we had a very fit, athletic family, and they knew the benefits of sports and the lessons that it would teach. And Zach, you're absolutely right. Sports made me who I am, primarily wrestling. I think wrestling was the most formative experience for me in growing up. Just, walking into the wrestling room at 6 a.m., on a Sunday morning and putting in a hard-ass two-hour practice and going out there and, getting your ass kicked by some dude 4 years older than you. I'm 13, he's 17, 18 years old, getting the shit kicked out of you, thrown around. And then you got to get back up and go at them again or do it again. So, adolescent sports, early age sports were absolutely amazing for me. And that's what I see. And that's something you're doing, and which is really why I wanted to get you on the show here today, because we're inundated with questions from parents and from the junior athletes, adolescent athletes that all want to know how to train. How do I train? How should my kids train? When is too soon for my kid to start resistance training? And I want to bring you in and have you give your insight, your experience, and we'll talk about your blog here, in a bit. But in going through your blog, which is awesome, so ZachEvanesh.com, we'll have links on our sites also, great blog site. And in reading your blog, you have, my story. Our stories are so similar. in that the Arnold Schwarzenegger encyclopedia, you know, encyclopedia of modern bodybuilding, the Flex magazine subscriptions, where I would walk to 7-Eleven, you know, on the other side of town almost daily, and I would just wait for the new Muscle and Fitness or the new Flex Mag, or, you know, even like Men's Health, Men's Fitness, the more fringe, because if it was like an off day or an off week, Flex isn't coming out, or Iron Man or Muscle Mag, well, I'd start resorting to like, well, what, anything. I just need advice, and I'm buying the, you know, the pseudo-homosexual magazines out there just because there's an article on like getting ripped abs or something. And I see you have very similar experiences in growing up, which shaped us. I mean, we were shaped by bodybuilding because Joe Weider, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the bodybuilding, Rambo, you know, Conan, you know, Van Damme, that was what was out there. There was no internet back in those days. You touch on that. And that's all we had. We just had this printed material, unfortunately, of these, you know, steroid, you know, using, you know, superstars. We didn't know anything about steroids back then. And then we're reading their training splits. I love your story about, you know, you're following an Arnold squat workout. You can't even pedal your bike home because you destroy your legs. You're way too much volume, probably way too much intensity. So let me back up and give you the mic here. Let's talk a little bit about how you first just got into the love of the strength world, and then I want to get into those adolescent athletes.
Yeah, I mean, what you're talking about is back in the. I started working out the end of eighth grade. It was 2 weeks before eighth grade ended, and 1989, and like you said, no internet and no true strength and conditioning. Not information was out there. Anything that was about fitness was, you know, all, how do you say, it was just for appearance. It wasn't for performance. That information maybe was available to the guys in the colleges and the universities and whatnot, but for the general public, like you and I, it was muscle and fitness. And even back then, you know, Muscle and Fitness today has more accurate info because they reach out to guys like you and I and other smart coaches. But back in the day, it was just writers fabricating workouts. So they would interview a pro bodybuilder and kind of tweak everything to make it look cool. And I copied that stuff. So it was the wrong style of training for performance. But, on the plus side was I fell in love with working out. I fell in love with the feeling of being committed and just watching my body change. And I constantly read Arnold Schwarzenegger books because I loved the story of him overcoming obstacles when he was in the military and escaping the army in the middle of the night to compete in his first bodybuilding show. To me, there was something cool about just like daring to be great. So I followed bodybuilding workouts. And then when I got into high school as a wrestler, those bodybuilding workouts didn't help me. Even though I looked the part, like I looked stronger and bigger and all these things in my competition, performance-wise, I would gas out in the second period of wrestling. And, you know, I did a lot of machine training, so my body wasn't prepared so much for the rigors of training. Because back in the day, those magazines told you to use, you know, all do a lot of volume per muscle group. They focused on exercising the muscle versus movements like clean and press, farmer walk, squatting, deadlifting. You know, they told you to use a Smith machine. So my training was really the wrong training. Even though I worked hard, the fact that I did everything wrong worked against me. I still see that today with this younger generation is they might work hard, but if they're doing the wrong things because maybe the coach is uneducated, maybe the parent tries to train them, and, you know, the parent is probably not an expert, it works against the kids. And the thing that why I'm so committed to kids is because I made so many mistakes, and it really could scar you for life. And I think, you know, just kids, to me, that just got a special place in my heart. I'm a former teacher of 11 years. So I want to see kids, you know, time is so precious. It goes so fast. They can't go back in time and fix these things. So when do kids lift? How should they lift? They shouldn't lift the way you and I trained when we were young, which is, you know, 20 sets for chest, 15 sets for biceps. Those things are totally unnecessary unless you're just training for appearance. And even with that, you could train in a better way. So when can a kid lift weights? I don't like taking on an athlete until they're in middle school. so sixth grade around age 11 or 12, mainly because, not because, oh, they're physically ready, but mental and emotional maturity. Anything before the middle school grades, I tell the parents, have your son, have your daughter get involved with gymnastics, even if it's just once a week, and let them play a different sport every season. So don't do fall baseball and spring baseball. You know, play football, soccer, or whatever's in the fall. Then in the winter, wrestling, basketball, or whatever, indoor track. Then in the spring, then they do a different sport. Once a week doing gymnastics is amazing. My kids, my own kids, are 7 and 5, and they don't do serious gymnastics. They go once a week, and they're so strong. You know, my daughter could do all kinds of handstands and doing cartwheels and push-ups. I mean, she's stronger at age 7 than a lot of 15-year-old girls that come and start training with us. And same thing with my son. Like, I could hold his ankles. He walks up and down the stairs when I hold his ankles. He walks on his hands. And he doesn't do it because I say, Ethan, walk on your hands. He's, like, fell in love with it because I don't push him. Neither does my wife. We don't push them. They see us always exercising, riding bikes. They come to me, they come with me to the gym. They climb the rope. They even did the rope climb when I had it in the when I have it in the garage. And I think they do it, number one, they see it as an example. And number two, there's no pressure. It's fun. So kids, even when they work hard, it's got to be fun. So, you know, going back to your question, when could they start? I mean, a great performance coach can start kids at a very young age. You know, that is what they did in the European countries, and they still do it today. They have the best coaches working with the younger ones. That way, when they get to their teenage years and they start to specialize in sport, those kids are molded. They have a very, very good foundation, not just of strength and stamina and body awareness, but they also have the foundation of technique. They know how to squat. They know how to push, pull, run, jump, climb. You get a kid, I get varsity football players, 16 years old, can't do a push-up. They can't even squat. If you can't squat, Mike, that's like saying you can't sit on the toilet bowl. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
We've gone backwards by doing all this over-specializing. When you and I were young, maybe there was a kid here and there, maybe, that said, I'm tired of this sport or that sport. Today, we see it all the time. We see it all the time, which shows us that the system is broken, the training is wrong. So what I like to see is a wide variety of sports, a good foundation that's fun yet challenging. You know, just because they're young doesn't mean they don't have to be challenged or they can't work hard. It's okay to work hard, but it's a different kind of hard work. It's not the intensity. You know, in 6th, 7th grade, the intensity is not the same as 9th and 10th grade or 11th and 12th grade. So as they get older, I intensify things more. I put more responsibility on them. I challenge them more. I talk to them differently. When they're younger, these middle school kids that I work with, 6th and 7th graders, they do a lot of body weight work, very light sled, light medicine ball work, a lot of band resistance, and their workouts are also shorter. So I don't really like to train those younger 6th, 7th graders really beyond, like, they do a long warm-up. They do all kinds of movement prep, animal movements, cartwheels, hand walking, jump rope, buddy carries. Then they do light sleds, light kettlebell exercises. They're essentially playing. I turn it into a play. And once they start getting into that fatigue zone, basically that's when the workout ends. Once they get older and they're more mature emotionally, like they can handle the intensity, then, okay, I challenge them a little more. But on the flip side, Mike, you do have some kids that might be sixth graders that might have the maturity, you know, they might be 12, but emotionally and maturity-wise, they're like 15-year-olds, and also vice versa. You might get a 15-year-old who's very shy, insecure, not confident, who's more like a 12-year-old, and I have to, so there's like your biological age, and then there's your training age. Your training age is like what you are capable of doing. And most kids nowadays have a very poor training age. And even, you know, at your level, working with pro MMA fighters, some of those guys might be very high-level skilled, but then they might go through one of your workouts, Mike, and they might get crushed. So they need to also go, you know, into like the appropriate level to build them up in training. So is weight training bad, weight lifting bad? You know, if you're wrestling at a young age, you are lifting weights. You're just lifting a human body, you know? So kids are weightlifting at early ages. It just, I do things differently according to, like I said, like their emotional maturity. That's what I really take into account with how I can train them.
Absolutely. And a lot of it is in the early stages of training. It's really, it's priming the nervous system. It's teaching the body how to actually, you know, perform specific movements. And I remember when I was young, I remember reading somewhere that the initial gains in strength don't come from muscle growth. They just come from learning how to do the lifts properly.
That's right, yeah. And but you don't have to lift heavy. They learn that technique. And like you're saying, it teaches their nervous system how to use the muscle, meaning like, if I told the way I try to tell my kids, I go, look, guys, I go, you might deadlift on the trap bar 225, or let's go to the B. Let's say push-ups. I go, let's say you did 5 push-ups today, and today is February 2nd, and you kind of grind out those 5 push-ups. Your stomach's not really tight. Your shoulder blades are collapsing. But then 2 weeks from now, you still do 5 push-ups, but your body is tight. Your abs are tight. Your lats are engaged during the push-up. And you still do 5, you're stronger because your technique is better. You're able to do each rep faster. So you didn't do more reps, but your nervous system and your body work together better, which is a sign of improved strength, improved performance.
Absolutely. And that's a lot of what you're doing. So you're talking, you make it fun. You have the kids do the animal exercise. You put them through, you know, all these different types of exercises and movements as a way to integrate them into the training system, into the lifestyle. Where now,
I want them to have fun. I don't ever want a kid to dread coming to our gym. If they do dread here and there, Mike, we've had like a 6th grader at our gym. We, you know, those first 3 months is really a trial period. Some kids are, they're tougher already. Other kids are very shy, insecure, physically weak, mentally not that strong. So some of those kids need to turn the corner. But what I do is they only train with us once a week, usually in 6th grade. And I'll say, hey, guys, when you're not here, if you're watching TV, I want you to do 5 push-ups when the commercial comes on. Or I want you guys on the weekends to go take a bike ride with your friends to the elementary school, and I want you to climb the monkey bars. And do jumps, jump over obstacles, play tag games. I give them little things to do. And if I notice a kid, like, can't do 3 push-ups, and then a month later, 6 weeks later, 2 months later, he still has crappy push-ups, then I know that kid isn't doing little things on his own, you know, like a little game. Hey, commercial's on, 5 push-ups. I know that they're not emotionally ready, and I'll usually tell the dad, listen, you know, he's been here for 3 months. He's not getting better. I go, I don't want to push him now. I go, he has to want to do a little bit of exercise on his own, and he's not doing those things. I go, let's try and do this in a year when maybe he's a little more emotionally ready. And I've had to do that with a few kids, and I tell you what, they come back the next year, and they're just different kids. They're like, excited to exercise and challenge themselves and work with other kids, and they're just more mentally mature. They're ready for it. You know, some kids, when I was young, in 6th and 7th grade, I did try working out. And my brother's room had all the weights and everything. And I'd lift for like a week, 2 weeks, then I'd stop. And I remember I was a young kid. I was like, oh, my God, what's wrong with me? I don't want to work out. Like, why am I so weak? And then in the summer before 7th grade, I remember losing every arm wrestling match. So that night I went home. All the kids were arm wrestling. It was in the summer. Arm wrestling on the hood of somebody's car, lost. I said, that's it. I'm going to start doing push-ups. I went home. I did like 2 or 3 push-ups my first night. And I was like, oh, man, this is horrible. And I said, I'm going to do push-ups every morning, every night, and add 1 rep. And I told myself, once you can do 20 push-ups, like, that's when you're going to be really strong. And it became 3 push-ups, became 4, 5, 6, 7. And then, boom, by the end of that month, there I was doing 20 push-ups in a row. And I remember I started winning arm wrestling matches. So it doesn't take a lot of work at this young age to get strong and to kind of get that confidence going. And confidence is one of the biggest positive side effects of like a good exercise program for young kids. And the parents tell me all the time, they're like, he's so confident. Like, and they love what it does to their son, not just from the sports perspective, but they just say overall, like what you're talking about, an adult, like being more confident in life. These kids just, they get more confident in life through training. So I'd like to see a lot of bodyweight training. Like, you know, we'll start them off with all the like simple gymnastic drills, tumbling drills. We'll do recline rope climbing where they kind of lay down versus climbing straight up and down. They'll do ring push-ups, ring rowing. They do all kinds of squat jumps where they jump over obstacles. I just turn it into like a game. I make it fun for them, and they don't realize that they're doing, you know, a quote-unquote workout. What I'm doing is just training them to move like animals, and that younger age, that develops the athleticism and the coordination. That is huge, because I don't want to have kids that are strong, even like high school kids. Hey, I could bench press 315. I could squat 405, but then they're always hurt when they're playing football. They always sit in the sidelines. They're not tough. You know, I want kids to be able to do, you know, body weight, lunges, push-ups, pull-ups, even big guys. You know, we've had kids 275 pounds doing handstand push-ups, rope climbs, because we don't allow them to say, well, I'm a big guy, so I shouldn't be able to do pull-ups, or I shouldn't be able to do handstand push-ups. He's light. That's why he's faster than me. Like, I get them to remove that, you know, lack, that limited thinking. Oh, this is a big guy movement. This is a little guy movement. I tell everybody, you know, I'm building you guys to be agile, mobile, and hostile. That's what I want them to be. So strong, fast, be able to move your body. That's really the number one thing. I want these kids to move their body before they can move a barbell or any external weight.
That is awesome. So now picture one of your top level high school athletes in your gym now, and just give me, and you don't have to say their names, but what would be, just so that the kids and the parents out there listening can understand what can be achieved by a high school athlete. So just give me a day in the life of one of your top guys or girls, if you have, you know, standout females, and the type of workload and training program that they're on, just in general speak. You don't have to go through every single set, but just you know, give a little breakdown.
So if it was the off season, let's say wrestlers, we train a lot of wrestlers. Our wrestlers tend to train with us 2, maybe 3 days a week in the off season. Why? Because they go to a wrestling club on the other days, so they're probably active 5 to 6 days a week. When they train with us, they're either doing an upper body day, an upper or lower body workout, or a full body workout. But even if they do an upper body workout, they're probably going to be doing like sled drags before and after that workout, so it's probably still considered full body. If it's a lower body day, in between squatting or deadlifting, they're probably going to be doing some push-ups and pull-ups. So let's say our warm-up is very movement-oriented. They do a lot of movement prep, jogging, skipping, hopping, jumping over obstacles, jumping on boxes. They do cartwheels. They do push-up, abdominal variations. They do band work for their shoulders. They also do mobility work on the foam rollers and the lacrosse ball to break up scar tissue. So we really take that warm-up very seriously. After a warm-up, let's say it's a full-body day, they will do a full-body movement. Let's say they'll do like a dumbbell snatch. Maybe they'll do like 5 sets of 2 or 5 sets of 3 on each arm, and they'll probably couple it with like a box jump. So they'll do a snatch, and then for 2 or 3 reps, then they'll do 2 or 3 box jumps, or they'll do 2 or 3 hurdle jumps. Then after the full-body movement, they'll do like I like to pair exercises together. The reason why I like to do that is because, like what you and I were saying, I don't just want them to be strong. I want them to be fit. I don't want them to be strong and useless. So let's say it's upper body. Maybe I'll do a barbell military press coupled with rope climbs, or it might be kettlebell overhead press, or it might be weighted push-ups with chains around their neck. So they'll do a pushing exercise. Then they'll do a pull. That pull might be a rope climb, might be variations of pull-ups. It might be one-arm dumbbell or kettlebell rowing. They might be outside pulling the sled with a rope attached to it hand over hand. So they'll do push-pull, push-pull. They'll do 3 or 4, maybe even 5 tough sets. sometimes I do sets. Sometimes I say, hey, you got 6 minutes to do as much work as you can. And as far as the intensity goes, you know, I'm sure people are going to, they ask about CrossFit and stuff. I don't do too much timed workouts because I found that young athletes, when you're timing them, they throw technique out the door. So what I do.
Adult athletes stuff, too, eh?
Yeah. They want to, like, rush, and then they're doing half reps and crappy technique. And everything for us, as I say, is about technique is number one. So we do what's called sub-max effort, which means you don't kill yourself on each set. You leave one or two reps in the tank. That allows you to keep technique, and it also allows you to use a heavy enough weight safely. So they're not doing a max rep work. Sometimes they'll do max reps, but that's with safe, simple exercises like body weight stuff, sled drags. So back to the workout, let's say they did like snatches and jumping. So a full body lift plus some jump. Then they're going to do an upper body push and pull, pairing. Then I'll probably have them do some sort of a carry, kettlebell farmer walk, sandbag carries, double kettlebell rack walks. They might carry kegs that are filled with sand, some sort of, you know, odd object carry. They might even do tire flips in the beginning or the end. It depends on, you know, how strong they are and what skill level they are. And then I always love, you know, you can't get enough sled work. Sleds are just super simple. You can't mess them up, and they're just amazing for leg strength, leg power, overall stamina, you know, general physical preparation. And they make the kids tough. They, you know, it's amazing how unfit kids are. So we build kids up slowly, but that would be like a challenging workout right there. And then I let them finish with direct arm work, you know, a couple sets of band push downs and dumbbell curls, or they'll put a rope through the kettlebell and do rope kettlebell curls. They do grip and abs at the end of almost every workout. And throughout the workout, every like 10, 15 minutes, they take, you know, they stop for a few minutes and they roll out on the foam roller, lacrosse ball. So we're really addressing any areas that might be feeling tight or sore on them, and we want to focus on optimal workouts and recovery. So that would be like a pretty higher level workout for an athlete who's been with us for a while. But let's say it's a new kid, Mike. A new athlete doesn't need complex lifts. You know, a father called me the other day and told me that his son does all weightlifting. So other people call this the Olympicus, meaning the snatch, the clean and jerk. And the kid is 15 and weighs 140 pounds. So I have this funny feeling that that kid who weighs 140 doesn't need to be doing snatches and clean and jerks. He needs to do simple movements, weighted push-ups, pull-up variations, all different kinds of lunges, trap bar deadlifting, sled drags, kettlebell farmer walks, dumbbell clean and press. See, these movements are not difficult to teach, and they're not complex to learn. If you're trying to create, like, complicated stuff for these young athletes, they're not going to make the progress. We want them to build a foundation, just like we don't send a new fighter to the UFC. He enters the he learns jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai, and then he learns to combine them together. Then he enters a local fight, and he enters a local grappling event. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't go straight to the UFC minus Brock Lesnar. Right? Yeah. They have a foundation of training, and that's what I do with kids. I look at, we have an introductory foundation. Then we go to, like, an intermediate level. And then from that intermediate level, we go to the more advanced complex movements. And even though they're advanced and complex, these kids are already trained with us. So they're athletic, they're coordinated, they're fit, they're also mentally tough. So we've built them up the same way a kid goes to school. He goes to preschool, kindergarten, elementary, middle, high school, college, and so on. And that's what I do with the training, is I take these kids through a progression. I don't try to make it complicated and intense from the get-go. There's a progression. And the progression makes things safe, it makes it fun, and it doesn't, mess with their confidence. Meaning, you take a new kid, and then you kick his ass in the workout, he's going to feel disappointed in himself. He's going to be embarrassed. You want them to achieve, like, little successes each workout And then when they build that confidence, then you start adding in the challenging stuff. You make it a little tougher. And then when they get through the tough workout, you give them props. And then you remind them how, like, unique they are for training the way they are and for, you know, going through that tough workout. And then that builds confidence. So when we're training, or any other coach out there is training, you're trying to build the athlete inside and out, not just the physical. You need to build the mental and the physical. And, you know, on the deepest level, you're building their spirit. You know, these kids today that we work with and that anybody else is working with, you know, I work with kids that have really overcome a lot of obstacles, such as parents' divorce or a parent passes away, you know, all kinds of things. Last year we had Hurricane Sandy. Some of these kids lost their houses. There's a lot of things that these kids go through, and when we teach them to be tough in training and in life, it's that is the ultimate goal. It can't just be, you know, at least in my opinion, I don't believe in just training the body. You got to train the mind and the body together.
Absolutely. Zach, you are absolutely amazing. You're an inspiration, a wealth of knowledge, truly a lifelong devotee to the strength and fitness game, because I think the two go hand in hand. That's all the time we have right now, unfortunately. I could listen to you talk for hours, and I'd love to get you back on here and reading your blogs. One of the things I want to get next time into is the high-volume Arnold Schwarzenegger style versus the high-intensity Mike Mentzer style of training.
Because I did them both.
Me too, man. And we go back and forth on those, and the arguments go back and forth, and people get so polarized on which is best. So next time, let's bring you back. Let's get your, you know, insight into that and some of your great stories and experiences. Now, people can find you at Twitter, at Z Evanesh. That's E-V-E-N-E-S-H. And right, Z Evanesh. And what are you – because you got quite a few websites. I love your blog site, which is Zach Evan-esh.com. What else are the sites that people can find more about you?
Yeah, so if they're just listening, like, the blog is also undergroundstrength.tv. That'll take them to the blog that you just mentioned.
Okay, great.
And then we have our membership, our inner circle. It's been going on since, like 05. And what I do is I record all the workouts from the gym. I do I share a workout of the month. I show them exactly what we do at the gym. That's undergroundstrengthcoach.com. And if they just go to undergroundstrength.tv, they can connect with me through Facebook, Twitter. They can read the blog posts, and those would be really a great starting point for everybody. And we've got some free training courses when you sign up for the newsletter. And it's a good way for really people to start understanding the right way to go about training and the way to avoid all the mistakes that guys like you and I, you know, have been in this game for a long time. That's, you know, avoiding these mistakes keeps you healthy. You make the progress, and that's what we want to see everybody experiencing.
That's it. And you can tell that you're a teacher also, not just a strength coach, a teacher, because you constantly educate the public. You're always putting out new content, whether it's your Instagram account, whether it's on your Twitter feed, whether it's on all your websites, or whether it's on your podcast, The Strongcast, which is on iTunes. It's amazing. I love listening to it. I've actually been a guest proudly. Thank you for that. Martin Rooney's been on there. Tony Blauer's been on there. I mean, you bring in, you know, some of the top guys to come and talk and do what we're doing right now. So, Zach, you are absolutely amazing. You're an inspiration. Love having you on the show this time. Can't wait to get you on again. And we'll be talking here soon, brother. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Right on. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Talk to everybody soon.
All right, Zach. We'll talk soon, man.
Thanks a lot, brother. Peace, Mike.
Later.
Later.
All right, guys, that is Zach Evanesh from the Underground Strength Gym. That's undergroundstrengthcoach.com. And what a cool name, right? Zach, Z-A-C-H, Evan, E-V-E-N, dash, E-S-H. Google him. Learn more about him. What a great dude. Super, super guy. The type of guy that you are would be very confident and comfortable bringing your kids in there and having a great guy like Zach, helping develop them into fine young men and women. Also, to build them physically as athletes. Great stuff once again on the Mike Dolce Show. And we got more stuff like this coming at you in 2014, guys. Now remember, don't count calories. Make calories count. Boom!
The Mike Dolce Show.
Because you can't. You won't. And you don't stop. Because you can't. You won't.